Howdy friends, how are you doing this day? AddedSouls.com podcast powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. Stefan Meyer here, your faithful and loyal audio and video servant at this time, this session. What are we looking at? Finding favor in God's eyes. We go to Genesis chapter 6. We look at the account of Noah, and we want to learn something from the inspired text this day. And we read verses 5 through 8 of chapter 6 in Genesis, and we will discuss something regarding finding favor. I quote verse 5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said," in verse 7, "I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah, verse 8, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Finding favor. Let's go panning for gold nuggets, shall we? Within this text, what is the depth, the wealth of knowledge we can acquire at this time? Well, let's look into words. Words are important. Words are the form and format in which God decided to communicate with us that would have a forever lasting impression, right? We can always go to it and understand his nature, his will, his ways, his commands. And so therein we find that the Lord saw. The word saw, S-A-W, caught my attention first and foremost because it tells me that God recognized something deficient in what he had created. He saw, he recognized a personality attribution, if you will, something in him in which allows us to understand his nature. He saw, he recognized the actions of his subjects. That tells me he pays attention to what people are doing. It's not some obscure, magical, floating father somewhere where he just checks in on us, you know, every billion years or something. This here reveals quite poignantly that God is most certainly taking attention to what mankind was doing. So he has his hands in the affairs of man. In this account, he's recognizing something that isn't what it was created to do. He's recognizing that the wickedness of man was great. The word great, another word that stuck out for me while I was reading and studying this text. Not only does God see, recognizing he's in the affairs of man, he sees man, he pays attention to man, he recognizes now that man has gone astray in such a way, it's to such a standard that he uses the word great. That's important because the level of evil reached was above and beyond what God had standard to allow. And though he allows no evil on earth, prior to that, no flooding came because Cain murdered Abel. You see what I'm saying? It had, forgive me for saying this, but in quotes, evolved to a now level in which God's justice must be implemented in such a high level manner. Great. The text says, the word reveals, great was the wickedness of man on this earth, and that every intent, another word sticks out for me, intent, intentionally. They were intentionally being evil. The intent of man was a never-ending evil reel. The wheels on the bus go round and round. And man was seeking this word, this idea behind this context and text reveals to us that man was seeking all the time new ways in which they could be sinful and evil and violent and barbaric. All the time. Man predetermined in his heart in these days, in the context, in the idea behind the words here, God recognizes, he sees mankind and what they are doing, and the level of depravity in which they have reached is such a one that each of them, with the age of accountability, the free will to decide right from wrong, decided to do wrong, to connive, to create more wrong all the time. New ways to do wrong. Must always do wrong. They determine, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be evil. And I'm going to be evil tomorrow after that. And all the tomorrows that I walk on this earth, I'm going to be evil and wicked. It's determined in my heart. I've chosen this path in my life. I want to be wicked and violent and evil and depraved. And I'm going to do this. It's determined in my intent as a human being on this earth is to hurt others and hurt myself and just be destructive and evil and depraved and violent and barbaric and a heathen in my behavior and practice and speech. The gull of woe, the gnashing, the violence of the day, continually, man. And we think we have it bad. Imagine Noah, at least in today's day and age, in the Christian dispensation, the stewardship of time in which we live in the messianic era, we have unity in the Lord's kingdom, his church, and we can find many who are united in like-mindedness with what is good and moral and true and sound. And we can fight against the, at time, overwhelming, evil, dying world. But yet we have an element of togetherness and assembly and congregation. Noah here. Man. Years, decades fighting this sort of evil everywhere, all the time. Crazy. Crazy, isn't it? Now, the Lord was sorry. Another word we look at, verse 6, chapter 6. The Lord was sorry. That's an important word. It kind of stuck out to me, and I wanted to go looking into it a bit more accurately. And we find ourselves seeing the idea that the Lord's mind changed. Some versions might say repented. His mind changed. His view of humankind went from one way to another in the respects of the context here. Sorry, changed. Something in the Lord's mind, his heart, went a different direction. The Lord was grieved, the text says in chapter 6, verse 6 of Genesis. Grieved, another word in there that adds more description to his change of thought, mind, heart. His change, and it adds to it, and it amplifies the change. Because now we see a description of emotion involved, which has to do with pain and hurt and sorrow. He's displeased. He's displeased with the way man has become. He did not create man for such a thing. He did not create man to do such things to each other and to themselves. He loves mankind. He created mankind in his image, eternal, apart from the beasts that walk the earth. With a soul, an ever-living soul inside these human beings, he loves us. He greatly grieved when mankind went so far away from him. His mind changed and emotion was involved as a righteous reaction to his change. The Lord, you know, he already knew how man would become. God knows all things. But the text reveals inspired instruction so that we, mankind, can understand exactly, more accurately, what's taking place with our Lord. So the Lord already knew how man would become, but yet still the text describes him with sorrowful emotion. And so even though he knew what would happen, it still pained him to see his creation in such an evil and wicked state. And so as a righteous God, a God of justice and love and mercy and patience and long-suffering, he must, at this point in time, historically recorded for us, he must give out judgment. His standard of judgment is righteous, and he had allowed man enough. And now this great wickedness and evil had filled the room. It was pouring over. It's time to empty out the glass of vinegar and fill it with pure water again, right? So the Lord will destroy, it says here in verse 7, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. Destroy, wipe out, erase, obliterate, completely bring to naught what was. It's an ending of things. What a catastrophic judgment and sobering reality for the men of the day. God had had enough. That's it. There is no long suffering. And it is amazing to me how some brethren, though they will not verbally acknowledge this, in their reasoning and positions are saying, well, God didn't give them enough time. Maybe if God would have given them enough time, they would have come to repentance. Foolishness of the highest order. There is a time when enough is enough and judgment must take place. There is a time when you must know when to let go of one who is rebellious and stiff-necked against God. We remain in the text. The Lord will blot out. It had to be pretty bad for God to resort to this resolve. Brute force, justice, righteous judgment on mankind. The Lord was sorry that he made mankind. Isn't that so sad on our account as a testament to mankind? Isn't it sad that in history we became so depraved? So the Lord said in verse 7, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky. For I am sorry that I have made them. His mind had changed. Some versions again say repent, that he repented, his mind changed. He once thought a certain way, his plans were set for a certain way, but now his direction with man has changed. I am sorry that I have made them. And as a consequence to the violence and depravity that was so great in wickedness and evil, mankind not only was going to be wiped out, so was the beasts of the land. Creeping things and birds of the sky. Complete annihilation, if you will. But the hope, even in this moment of catastrophic judgment and justice, the moment in which history will never see again in that form and fashion. Something that must be respected in our lineage. Even then, the love of God remained for mankind. Even then, do not ever try to convince me that our God is unloving. It won't work. Yet still, in this time and context, God saw fit for his grace to be extended to mankind. But Noah, in verse 8, chapter 6, Genesis, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Remember how verse 5 begins with the Lord saw the actions of the wicked? Well, guess what? Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord because the Lord could see the difference between the evil and wicked and the obedient. Oh, isn't this fun? Isn't this fun? You see how the Lord saw the difference there? He is most certainly involved. He is an active participant in mankind. He recognizes their departure from him, and he recognizes their obedience, allegiance, loyalty, and faithfulness, trust in him. He sees the two paths, the narrow and the broad, the wise and the fool, the Cain and the Abel. Do you see how this makes so much sense now, this hope we can have? But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He saw the difference between the disobedient, wicked, and evil. Great, and it was. Great evil. With the obedient, the faithful. Friends, the question is now put to us in a practical way. Rubber to the road. Who are we in this Christian age now, apart and away from the old law, the old covenant, now in the new covenant, this new system that our Lord and Master Jesus Christ bled for, brought to completion the fulfillment of prophetic things, messianic prophecies, completed, Christ fulfilled all things, and now we live in this messianic age. What does this mean for us this day? How does this help us to see this thing that we can read the account recorded? Noah. We can understand the same principle if we apply the same things Noah did. Obedience. You know, in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 6, thus Noah did, it says, according to all, not some, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. The difference between those whom God wanted to blot out and Noah? Obedience. Faithful obedience. If we wish to have and find favor in the eyes of our Lord, we must obey his commands. And so it is. The quoted words of Christ, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey the things in which I command you, for they are right. That's the difference. That's how we find favor in our Lord's eyes, by being obedient. In the days of Noah, being obedient mean he needed to preach repentance upon the people who were so great in their wickedness, and he had to build an ark according to the very specific ways God commanded him to build it. In our current age, the Christian age, we are to believe and be immersed in water so as to be saved. So as to be added to the kingdom of God, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. so as to become Christians, born again, washed of our sins. All of this is possible through faith in Jesus Christ. This is the patterned system of intelligence and design we have been given in the New Covenant, and we must obey it. If not, we find ourselves to be blotted out, because there is a second coming, isn't there? The judgment day will come with our Lord and Master. And once we are born again, out of water and the Spirit, we begin a journey to worship in spirit and truth, to evangelize and tell others of the truth which sets men free from the bondage of the great wickedness that we see, don't we? Abortion. We're murdering babies. We call it health care. We call it a woman's choice. Homosexuality, the LGBTQ and the other things, and all of that that's involved, perverting our children, molesting our children, pedophilia, and everything that's involved with the perversion of homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism. We're promoting that in our kids' minds and everything we look at these days. It's so depraved and wicked. Yet still, we must remain obedient to Jesus Christ, and we must preach the love and unity and forgiveness that is found in Christ. Will we find favor, or will we be blotted out among an age of atheism, heathenism, all sorts of barbaric religious ways that have infiltrated, threatened our freedom, if you will, in Christ? We must stand strong. We must be the Noah with the coming day. There is a coming day of judgment in which no man knows, and the principle of a once wise man recorded in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. My dear friends, pay attention to the preacher's words. We must find favor in our Lord. There is peace there. There is family, assembly, forgiveness, faith, hope, evidence, courage, truth, wisdom, knowledge. We must find favor in our Lord's eyes. He loves each and every one the same on this earth. He wants us all to be saved. But his justice is true and righteous. And he will send his Son to bring judgment on the earth one day when we least expect it. When we appear in front of the Maker, will the book be opened and your name be found where the name of Noah is found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22? Thus Stephan did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. What about your name? Is it found there, or is it found among the blotted out? Pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Is your name found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22? Or is your name found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7? Are you the blotted out, or did you find favor? What's the difference? Your obedience. Leave the world and its wickedness behind, the fornication, the adultery, the idolatry, the gossip, the violence, the murder, the slander, the lies, the jealousy, the division, the denominations, the false teachings of the world. Leave all of it behind. Repent and let each and every single individual accountable person out there be immersed in water with the power and authority of Jesus Christ so as to have their sins forgiven and been added to the kingdom of God, where all spiritual blessings are found, where favor in the eyes of the Lord are found. There it is, my friends. Stefan Maier, your audio and video servant for this podcast session. It is powered by the Spencer Church of Christ, addedsouls.com. You want to check out some other venues in which we are creating and some content for you? Go to subscribestar.com, go to patreon.com. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, podcast, of course, Podbean, everywhere's, anywhere's, YouTube, Facebook. If you find value and wish to partake in these labors with us, by all means, please subscribe to some of those channels and support, and it continues this work to move forward. I love you guys. I have always great concern for your souls, and I want you to stay positive. I want you to stay focused, and we shall most certainly meet here again for the next session tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless.